We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown up.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Ahoy, fine people of Portland. Happy Friday to you. No Ropp today. Buckley back behind the glass, though. That's nice. And sitting in with me as he does from time to time, the greatness that is Andrew Nemec. Welcome, boys.
How's it going? Hello. Black Shirt Brigade.
Yeah.
The BSB. God,
this is so... You may think that, like, I'm playing this up. Like, deep down, like, this bothers me.
It really bothers you. We've done this before. Yeah, you, me, and Ortner on an SOB edition have kind of run into this
I'll
before.
Change.
Yeah, you will.
I will change. If there was... So, sometimes on Fridays, I come from the gym, and for reasons unbeknownst to anyone, I don't have time to shower. I have to come here and be here at 2. Not that we're pre-taping anything. We would never do that, Joey Harrington, at 5:30 live! We would never pre-tape anything. So I have to come and shower here and change. So by the time I went and took a shower.
Can we stop for just 1 second?
Yeah.
You showed up for as much as you badmouth BYU. Yeah. Cougar fans,
I don't
you should be proud.
I badmouth BYU.
You say
BYU.
If you could redo any... No, you're a fan of Kalani Sitake and all that. But for as much as you say, if I could redo any decision in my life, it might be that I chose to go to BYU. And you showed up today in a long sleeve, baby bluish BYU getup with baby blue pants that were like some sort of felty, soft material.
Well, that was my gi.
It was like a BYU jumper is what it looked like you were wearing.
It was not the best look. So yeah, that was the, so my those were my gi bottoms. And I was wearing I wear a rash guard under my gi, which is just a skin tight, like white suit. I'm not showing up at the office in, I mean, painted on.
I feel you. I get it.
So the only, I realized, I was like, crap, I don't have time. Friday traffic, I don't have time to shower there. And the only thing I had in my bag, besides the clothes that I was going to wear, aka this black shirt, which I can't put on when I'm sweaty and gross, was that BYU shirt that I had worn to the gym.
Yeah.
And it was a very blueberry-esque Smurf. It was not a good look.
Wasn't your best look.
And you thought I was dressed like that.
I thought that's what you were coming in to wear today.
You saw me going into the bathroom to shower, and you thought that's what I had decided to wear to work.
And I couldn't believe it. I was stunned.
He woke up and decided to be Veruca Salt from...
Yes! I mean, that's totally what...
No, it was Violet. It was Violet. Beauregard.
And pants that go down to like my calves. I decided to wear some culottes. And
I was stunned.
That was a fashion choice from you today, because I first saw you like walking away and I was like, whoa, is Sook doing the clam digger thing? Like, what's going on here?
I was stunned.
There was a flood. I was worried about the floods. And so I decided to wear some pants that stopped mid-calf.
But little did we know, it was actually going to get worse.
Yeah. So I take a shower and I just brought a black t-shirt, wearing shorts and a black t-shirt. And I come out. And that's when I saw you. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, Nemec is wearing a freaking black t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then we do a little Great Notion pregame video that you can find on Twitter and all our social media platform. And I look down at Buck and I'm like, oh my God. I said, Buckley, are you wearing a plain black t-shirt? And he just turns around. I'm like, God bless America. Now it just looks like we've just all got together like, hey guys. Cool idea today. Let's all wear black t-shirts and be brooding. Maybe we can walk through a graveyard later together and you talk about, you know, like our teen angst.
I also finished my Ghost in the car, so I would have also been sipping a Ghost to the segment, nice. But I just finished
Nemec
it.
Nemec invited him to join the Subaru crew, too.
Yes.
Well, I could have, because you both have white Subarus. My daughter drives a white Outback. We could have all just gotten together, and then, like we could have crossed streams and worn black T-shirts would've and been driven so white fancy. Subarus.
Look, a trio of fancy lads. That's what we could have been.
I don't know why that bothers me, but it legitimately does. The BTJ is always trying to... She loves it when we can match. So if I buy a pair of shoes...
Oh, with the wife when you go out?
And she gets so mad at me, but I refuse. I absolutely refuse. Like, if I'm wearing a pair of, like, Adidas Stan Smiths, and she goes to put them on, I'll go upstairs and change. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, we're not wearing the same shoes. I'm like, just, it's not happening. I call them samesies. We're not doing samesies.
Matchy, matchy.
No, I just won't
matchy,
do it.
Matchy, matchy.
And every now and then it happens where you just, me and Rob will do it, and you're just like, oh, man. I don't know why it just, that is one of those weird fundamental things that just it gets in my kitchen. And for the rest of the show, I will look at the three of us and be like, we are the three biggest douchebags in Portland right now.
You already thought that about me.
But it's like,
I was just with two other guys.
Now he has to feel that way about himself.
Now you're in the group. Huh?
I feel like we're going to like go out to a bar later and like pick up some chicks. Hey man, why don't we go out later? Cruise
night at the Roxbury.
Cruise with some young ladies in our sweet black slimming t-shirts. Yeah. It's just not a good look. It's not a good look.
I got mine at Costco.
See that?
Doesn't that add to it?
That adds to it.
Aren't you more excited?
Are you trying to poke the bear now?
Yeah. Oh, I am.
Piss me off even more. Knowing that came from, I think mine might be a Kohl's. I like a nice Sonoma soft tea. The Kohl's summer teas, super soft.
I believe I'm doing the Target Goodfellow brand.
Yeah. See, Target and Costco, we are in a different tier than this.
Although Kohl's isn't far off. Like Kirk Cousins in his Kohl's cash.
I have to say, of my fashion choices, where I knew I was getting into dad mode and I really lost it, and you've pointed this out and it's clear. I used to wear like pretty nice Jordans regularly, and I had a rotation of Jordans, and you'd always ask me what Jordans I had on.
You do. You have a strong shoe game.
And I started coming in sometimes in Crocs and Hey Dudes.
You wore a pair of Hey Dudes once, and I was like, oh my God.
And I was like, oh, it's gone so far downhill. Yeah. And I thought today, I will admit, I genuinely thought, okay, this is the first time I can make fun of Souk for his clothing choices when I saw you in your BYU all blues from wrist to ankle. Well, sort of mid-calf because the pants weren't long enough. And I was like, what is this outfit? I can't wait for people to see this. But it was not for
I did think about it. So I got off the mat, and there's no air conditioning in there. So you're just like, your head to toe just gross. Yeah. Just stank sweat. And I was just, and I was like, oh crap, I didn't bring a t-shirt to put on. Like all I had is what I had worn to the gym, which was that little, it's like a lightweight t-shirt hoodie thing. And it's BYU.
I should say, the top is nice. Yeah. It's a nice like Nike breathable. Yeah.
But I did. It was
whatever brand BYU
is. It looked so bad, the all blue. I thought about wearing the white rash guard, but it's like... Dude, it's something else. Like it's just like it's so transparent, like sweaty. You can like see the tattoos through it, and it's just hugging you in all the right places.
Would we have seen some soup nip?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah,
you would have. It's just everything. So I couldn't do it. So I sacrificed that. And look, the older I've gotten too, I have come to appreciate BYU. Here's my thing. I appreciate what I did there. I appreciate the times I had there. I appreciate that it kept me out of trouble.
Yeah.
I think it kept me, I have a propensity to need boundaries.
You'd have been a Richie incognito.
I would like to think, I hope I wasn't incognito, but I know that without checks and balances, I should not be left to my own devices. And
sure.
And BYU kind of kept some
guardrails.
Yeah, guardrails. Bumper bowl.
Yeah.
And so the older I've gotten, even though I do think that that was a bad decision, I did not belong there.
Yeah.
I went there because I thought that's where I was probably supposed to go. I was raised in the church, was never active in the church, and I just thought that's probably where I should go. Also, I was also a little afraid of going to like somewhere else and being that other guy.
I just think it's really honorable you lived up the honor code as an AC Green type and didn't have sex until marriage. That's really noble of you.
Absolutely.
I mean, to choose to do that just so you can be an offensive lineman, that's...
I would like to point out...
Really bold.
Five years at BYU, 5. And of my recruiting class, I think 3 of us made it through. 3.
Without getting suspended?
Without getting suspended, okay, without having to get kicked out and come back. We had a couple guys that got booted for 6 months. They would go down to Snow and come back.
Snow College, which is a really good junior college.
Yeah, when we would get an honor code violation, Brett Kiesel, went on and played for the Steelers for years and years. Great guy. You had to go do the tour of duty at Snow College for a season. And then you would come back. I think of my class, which was like 25 kids, there was 3 of us that made it all the way through.
That's really good.
And I was one of those.
You were really, really good at being sneaky. That doesn't speak to your character at all. You're just a savvy little cheater.
I would like to point out 3 times called before the honor.
Yeah.
Code. 3?
Wow.
3, I was exonerated. All 3 times.
That's
never
really
once
good.
Convicted of anything.
Well, and Suk knew how to work the system. I love the stories of the bowl game exhibitions and meeting up with the other team's player and then getting their gear to wear it so that he could pose as members of the other team who were allowed in bars and whatnot.
Oh, that's 100%. Go. That was my go-to.
I mean, you navigated the system incredibly well.
Yeah. Never lived on campus. That's number one. Never used my own ID. No, I may have stolen my brother's ID. John Sukadic had a great time all roaming around Utah. And yeah, like when I would go to bowl games, that'd be the first thing I'd do is I'd go find an old lineman from the other team, Tulane, Louisville, who was Marshall. And I would be like, hey, do you guys want to do like a little swap of some gear? And they would, and sometimes they'd be knowing, I'd be like, come on, dude, I need something. So I ended up drinking and hanging out with the other team in every bowl game that I went to.
That's good.
I met some great dudes.
Yeah.
Chad Pennington, great guy.
Yeah, I believe that.
Great guy. Sean King.
Sean King, yes.
Sean King was a great guy.
And he was an unbelievable college
quarterback. And I ended up meeting, we ended up on the Buccaneers together, and Sean King remembered.
That's right.
He's like, he's like, I know you. And I was
fun
like,
Mormon hang.
I was like, So you found creative ways. And the other one is just, the key is with the honor code, they rely on your guilt a lot.
Yes.
They do the we know what you did. Now we need you to tell us. And my thing was, well, if you know what I did, you don't need me to tell you. And then you did the whole, well, God's watching. And I was like, well, he's about to see me bend some truths is what he's going to do. Because I can stick to a story better than anyone. I dug my heels in and I was like, you know what? I'll deal with whatever repercussions are way down the road. But for right now, I'm going
to
be all right.
And now they're lying to God because they're saying that they already know what you did, which is not true.
Boom.
Exactly.
I like how you put guardrails on their guardrails.
Yep.
Like, hey, no sex, no drinking, and you're like, I'll live off campus. So this lane is now only about, the bowling lane, if we're sticking with this analogy, is only about the width of the ball wide, because you've put guardrails on top of their guardrails. The other thing that I find interesting is suddenly this BYU love comes out, right as Kalani Sitake's doing a great job.
Hey.
They land 5-star quarterback Ryder Lyons
Oregon.
And land A.J. DeBanza, who outside of Cooper Flag is like the next great basketball
hope.
I just think it's funny that suddenly that BYU seems to be on top in everything and has an NIL budget to work with, which you've done nothing to support, by the way. No donations to a collective
none of my money.
Suddenly you're in all baby blue walking in. I see what's going on here.
Fun fact, too. I may be the only person ever to have this happen. I got kicked out of BYU before I was ever actually enrolled in BYU. I got kicked out of BYU during two-a-days my freshman year.
Did that have something to do with back home with the church?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you go to BYU, you have to have an interview, and they call it like an ecclesiastical endorsement.
Ooh.
Where you basically say, hey, I follow the rules and I'm going to follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to church in high school, and not like sometimes, I didn't go ever.
Mm-hmm.
So when they recruited me, they said, it's no big deal. Just go talk to who would be your bishop. And we knew him. I mean, I grew up in the church. I just didn't go. And they said, go there and like, you know, hey, just tell him, hey, you're going to, you know, do what you know, you're going to follow the rules and this is where you want to go. And they're like, you'll be fine. So I met with the guy, my local bishop, and said the same thing. I was fairly honest. I was like, I know I'm not the most active kid in the world. I may have left out some key details, but I just said, hey, I'm trying to be on the straight and narrow, right? This is where I want to go.
My name is Jason Sukanik.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah. And I was like, you know, I want to go here. And I would, like I said, it was probably the most honest that I've ever been in a church interview.
Yeah.
And he was like, I love to hear it. And, you know, turn over a new leaf and you're going to do great down at BYU. Getting into BYU can be quite challenging. It's a really good academic school. And a lot of my mom's friends weren't big fans of mine. And their kids didn't get into BYU.
I see what's going on.
So that rubbed the neighborhood the wrong way.
Yeah, they got
kind of pissy that I did. And when I heard about this, that my mom was taking flack, I told a lot of my mom's friends and their kids that they can literally go F themselves.
Yep.
I may have said something along the lines of, hey, how'd that studying work out for you? You should have been better at sports. I took a real screw you, how dare you, what me getting in has nothing to do with your horse crap kid.
Right.
So I go down to BYU early because you're going down for 2 days.
Yeah, yeah, for football. Yeah.
Well, apparently while I was down at 2 days, a coalition of the willing back home got together and went and talked to my bishop and basically said that I was like a huge piece of crap and that I didn't follow any...
A heathen, really.
A heathen.
I mean, they hit the nail on the head. It was just bad timing is what you're saying.
Look, who's to say what is true and what's not? But they got together and that son of a gun that's still out there. I believe your name is Tom Jensen.
Get him.
Who to this day, you are a horrid human being in my opinion.
For real.
Yeah, screw that guy.
Boy!
Didn't call me, didn't call my parents, nothing. He pulled my ecclesiastical endorsement and never told me.
Oh,
didn't say anything.
Wow.
So I go through 2 days, right? And I'm down in the dorms. And, you know, it's what, 2 or 3 weeks of that? I think back then, I think we had 3 weeks of 2 days.
Okay.
I don't think it was a full month. I want to say 3 to 4 weeks. And then you break camp and you go get your dorm assignments and you get your class schedule and all that. And then you move into where you're going to live. So I go to get my room assignment and they're like, dude, we don't have you here. And I was like, what? And they're like, we don't have you. And I was like, well, that's weird. So I was like, well, I'll go get my schedule and then I'll circle back and get my housing. They don't have a schedule for me either. And I was like, come again. And so I went down to the football office and that's when I found out that they had yanked my endorsement.
And never told you?
Never told me. Never told me. And I was livid.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like packing my car. I was like, screw you guys. I'm out of here. And that was back when they could hold you because of your letter of intent.
Yeah.
They could hold your scholarship.
Yes, yes.
And they were like, no, we're going to work this out. And I was like, F you. I don't want this worked out. I'm gone. I'm leaving.
I'm taking my talents too.
And I was going to leave. And yeah. He was like, no, you need to give us a week. And like, I called home and it was, and so for like a week, I was basically like a floating nomad.
Where did you stay?
I stayed with a couple guys that I knew. I stayed with my grandparents once. I slept in my car one night.
Oh man.
And so I didn't get off on, so the coaches or whatever, somehow they figured it out. They went to a different guy and anyway, they got it patched up. It was 4 or 5 days, but that was my introduction to BYU.
Right.
So I didn't start off on the right foot.
Right.
And over the 5 years, I tried leaving one more time. Same thing, wouldn't release me from my scholarship. After the second year there, I was like, fine, we're just going to ride it out here. I got some good friends. You know, we'll just do this, see where it goes. So that's why I said my relationship there was not the best. And so when I say, should I have gone there? Probably not. I probably didn't belong there. Was it good that I went? Sure. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Met my wife, I had a kid.
Did it make you a better football player?
Yeah, it made me a better football player. I don't have any ill will anymore towards anything that happened there other than that one guy who can get bent. Be a man and call me.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Talk to me and not take someone else's word for it. And so as the years have gone on, I've softened and I've come to appreciate that university, even though, is it for me? No. But I knew what I was signing up for. I signed up for it and I'm proud of the degree I got. I'm proud of the education I've got. I'm proud of the football that I played there. And I'm proud of a lot of my friends. So it's been a weird kind of journey, but I think I've come out on the other side. Again, going back at 18, should I have gone there? No.
Yeah. I knew your mentality changed totally a few weeks ago when you said you thought Zach Wilson was going to be the breakout star of this year's NFL season. And I was just like, I don't know where you're coming from with this. And
well,
it got weird.
When we come back, we got a nice little announcement for you here.
The Black Shirt Boys.
Black Shirt Boys coming at you. Prime time. Denny to the Fan. Welcome in on a Friday. we'll get to some stuff, but we got some housekeeping. That whole first segment turned into a whole thing. I did want to take a moment to bid the fan man farewell. If you weren't listening earlier, today was Dusty's last day. This was his last show. They announced it'll be Patrick, Harris, and Danny going forth, and then Dusty is our new boss. He's the brand manager, which still confuses me. That used to be program director for like the last 25 years.
And it still is program director, but also brand manager? Or are they one and the same?
I think it's just brand manager. I don't think he's program director. I think he's brand
manager. So do we not have a program director anymore?
I don't
think
we have a program director anymore. I think we've just changed the title to brand manager. I don't know what the difference is, but Dusty started working. I've known Dusty for almost 20 years. He was an intern on my show with Rob 19 years ago. And he was a 2-year intern. And then from there, he was a part-time employee. And he's, I just, to watch him kind of grow, as he's now 40. I mean, so I knew him when he was just out of college.
Yeah.
He was 20 something years old. Yeah. I knew him when he was single, knew him when he met his wife, saw him when he had his first kid. And it's neat doing this for this long to watch people that kind of get to go on and do other things, from Travis Demers to Chad Dewing, even Kinzano started on my show.
Yeah.
Way back when he started off having a segment with me and Ian Furness 22 years ago. So to see people that kind of get to kind of grow and evolve and go beyond stuff, I think that's really neat. And I just, Dusty is one of my favorite human beings on the planet. And so it was kind of sad when I was driving in today and I heard that this was his last show. I was like, oh, son of a gun.
Dusty is obviously involved in a lot of circles that I am with high school, around high school football.
Yeah. You guys and, both like high school boys.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And across the board, whether it's in this building or in the high school space, everyone likes and respects Dusty as a person, as a man, as a father, as a husband. He's a really genuinely wonderful person. Yeah. And it's nice to have somebody that you genuinely respect as a human being leading the charge. And I think that speaks to his character and why he's in this seat now. And he paid his dues and did it the right way all the way up. There's no backstabbing. You know, he didn't knife anybody to get there. He genuinely is just so likable that he worked his way up. And I think when people do it the right way and are, you know, widely regarded as a wonderful person, they deserve their flowers. The other thing is I still have a clip of when my daughter was born, Dusty's voice on the show, he sent it to me, of him congratulating me that on the air that, you know, Nemec had a baby. So congratulations, Jordan Nemec is now a part of the, you know, like the fan team. And I still have that because it meant a lot to me and my family that, you know, he took that time to, what's your daughter's name? And then gave her a shout, you know, the day she was born. It was really cool.
Well, it's cool. Like we mentioned on Wednesday, Rob turned 50. Buck, you were gone. But Rob turned 50 and then he was down in San Diego kind of celebrating. And I asked him about, you know, when you turn 50 and he said, you get very reflective and, you know, me and Rob have spent half our lives together. We've been working together for 20 plus years. And we've been on the fan together for, I think 23. He started here before I did. I got the show before he did. Mm. And then my first partner left and Rob became my partner. But I mean, we've spent 22-ish years together.
Yeah.
And for, you know, someone that's 50 and I'm 46, almost 47, we've essentially spent half our lives and more than half of our adult lives together. And it's just kind of one of the neat part about this job is you get to meet really, really good people and they become family. When you work with someone for 20 years, you get to know them. You get to know wives, you get to know kids. And I am grateful for all the people that I've got to work with over the years, you two donkeys in black shirts included. I've got to know you guys a bunch over the years. And it was just kind of one of those, when Dusty was kind of saying goodbye, I came in today to wish him well on his on air. I did. I got a little tear in my eye.
Yeah.
Because it's just strange to see someone that I once thought is like a kid intern and now is the boss. And it was just kind of one of those cool moments. And I appreciate the opportunity to work with everyone. And we have a little announcement. We teased it on Twitter. We have a little announcement because you and I have kind of taken to do stuff. When Rob's gone now, we usually do some version of this right here. This has kind of become over the last couple of years. This has become our little, when Rob's gone, we try to do some version of you, me, and Buck.
Yep. Right?
This is kind of our little triangle. And we enjoy doing it together. And you are the biggest football nerd that I've ever met. I'm a little bit, I would say I'm a football geek. You're a full-on football nerd. We always enjoy talking football off the air.
Yep.
We always end up having little kind of, I don't know, just little conversations, little text threads going back and forth. So we've decided, starting Monday, that we're going to take that and we're going to give the people a little something. So if you like when we get X's and O's, if you like the draft coverage, if you like when we kind of dig into the 49ers stuff, why don't you tell the people what we've kind of got cooked up here?
Yeah, it's a podcast called West Coast Biased.
A podcast?
I know.
No one's ever done that. First of its kind.
And I think you and I have talked about this for a couple of years, and we were like, do we want another podcast? And as things progressed, we kind of both felt like there was a void in kind of deep divey Ducks, Beavers, Niners, Seahawks.
Yeah.
In this market, and really the whole West Coast, even sure. You know, the California teams as well,
it's underserved.
USC, and it's underserved. And I think that someone needs to fill that space, and I think you and I do a good job. I followed the Niners forever. I followed the Seahawks. We both follow the Ducks, the Beavers, the Huskies. We watch those games anyway. And you had a really good point when we first started talking about this. You said, I don't think this is going to be that much more work. We just need to put a mic in front of our faces from when we normally break down the games and talk about the games like we do every Sunday night.
Yeah.
Let's just tape it Monday mornings and launch it as a podcast. And yep. I was like, yeah, let's do that. So it's called West Coast Bias. We will have twice a week during the football season. It's possible as we get into the doldrums of the summer, we're once sure. a week-ish. Yep. But during the football season, Mondays, look for that. We're breaking down the Ducks, the Beavers game, the Niners, the Seahawks, NFL, the big NFL stories, the big college football stories. And then, of course, previewing stuff probably Thursday or Friday during the week. We're going to tape those in the morning. They should be out ready to go by early afternoon.
Yep.
So should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward
to it. So Monday, again, I think we'll hit, we'll give you some Beavers, we'll give you some Ducks, we'll give you some Cougs, we'll give you some Huskies, some Niners, some Seahawks. So yeah, we'll just kind of, and there'll be maybe some national stuff too, but for the most part, we're going to try to focus on some West Coast. And then if that ropes into bigger things, we'll do it. But yeah, it should be fun. We always enjoy talking football. And so we thought, let's just talk football a couple times a week and throw it out there for people.
I think there's a small part of me that thinks that during the season, as I text you like random insane stats that I'm like, hey, something to talk about on your show.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what? If I just do an hour with him,
he'll stop
sending me that stuff and I'll save time. And it's another audio product because I do think, and I even think it'd be fun at some point for you in the club to just have a jar that everyone that works in the office yeah. can put the most random stuff in, and you have to draw something out of it yeah. and talk about it during the club for 15 minutes, because you could. I really think you could. It's me that needs to stay in the football track, but you could talk about just about anything and make it interesting. So I think it'll be a lot of fun, and again, I think it's going to save you a lot of time having to go through your texts and tweets and things of all the DMs of all the different stats and highlights that I think are interesting. Check out Panay Sewell on this block. You'll be like, dude, just talk about it on the pod. It'll be fun.
Well, hit so if you like football nerd stuff, join us, will you? And like I said, we'll start throwing that out next week, and we'll give you some football nerdy stuff. Are we come back? I do want to ask you. Well, first off, we do have to talk about the big news of the day, and that is it starts. The era has become. The Young era has become.
It's the Young dynasty is what we're calling it.
And I do want to ask you a little bit about college football, because you're very tied into college football and recruiting, and this NIL thing is very, very puzzling to me. So we'll touch upon that when we come back here, though. Buck with SportsCenter.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
This is one of the great summer day sort of songs. Like, if I'm thinking of, like, convertible driving down, like, a coast highway somewhere.
I'm thinking, like, backyard hammock.
Yes. This song just puts me in a good mood every time I hear it. But there's that Jack Nicholson movie, As Good As It Gets.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the first time I heard this. And it's weird. Like, I mean, this is Van Morrison. It's a song, classic song. I just don't know if I'd ever heard it. And then I do that so often when I see a movie or a TV show, I'm a big soundtrack guy.
Yeah.
And even if it's something in the background, I'll be like, oh, well, I need to go find that song. And once that happens, I'll always link. Whenever I hear that song, I think of Jack. It's just, I will always link it with that movie. I just love that. And movies and shows that do soundtracks well, like I'm watching The Bear right now on Hulu, and I'll be honest, it's a little, this season's a bit on the struggle bus.
Can we have a conversation about The Bear?
Yeah, perfect for the club, I think.
Yeah, in the club, but yeah, it's.
We might need to have a conversation.
I'm about four episodes in of this new season as well, and yeah.
Yeah, it's fallen down a dangerous path. But the soundtrack on it, phenomenal. Primo soundtrack. What time's the Yong Bong? Is that 5 tonight?
8 p.m. Pacific time.
It's 8?
Yeah, because it's Summer League and they play late. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Are we going to get derailed? Are we going to get derailed today, or is it after the show's over? I think we all need an appropriate time to settle in to the Yonger. And the era has the Yong dynasty becomes today.
Is it Yong or Yang?
It's Yong.
It is Yong.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It went from
Hanson Yang.
Yang to Yang Hanson, then to Yong Hanson, then to Yong Han Sun. I think that's where we've settled on.
No, it is 8 p.m. our time.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
it's the last game of the night in the summer.
So I got to wait all that time for the Yonger?
At least you can be have a drink in your hand already.
Nah, I got Louis C.K. tonight, which I still feel a little weird about going
interesting.
To.
Interesting. Oh, I've seen him live before the Me Too stuff.
God.
Yeah, I know.
Why'd you have to throw that in there? I saw him before the Me Too stuff.
You just
dropped that in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm worried.
I mean, I think we all know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we did.
My buddy were going, and we're like... And then, like, I had a friend called me and was like, hey, I got two tickets, and he's in band. And he's like, I can't go. Do you want him? And I was like, yeah, I'll take him. And I asked my gal if she wanted to go, and she was like,
no, I'm not supporting that. She's like, is that weird? Yeah.
She's had other plans, and she was like, I don't know. And I was like, yeah, I get it. It's a male-slanted comedy. And that's my buddy. He goes, can we go to that? I'm like, I don't know. I think enough time's passed. I think he's uncanceled himself, but it's still a little...
That's the thing about cancel culture to some extent.
Yeah.
For most people, it's just a timeout for the repercussions of your own actions.
Yeah.
And we go, cancel culture, that's not nice. And it's like, well, he did do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, you know what? I'll forgive him in 8 months and not worry about it anymore. That's essentially what we've done with the Me Too movement. We've decided however many things stack up. As a society, we're like, let's not go to his show for... What, 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, you go sit in the corner for a while, and then we'll come back.
You know who I kind of miss? Louis C.K.
I thought about it, but when the tickets were offered up, I was like, yeah, this could be fun.
Oh, well, these got cheaper. I'm in.
Yeah. Smaller theater, intimate venue.
There was a bit that he did a long time ago that was just about kids like not wanting to take medicine and how ridiculous it is that you have this perfect thing that will heal them from their ails. And they're like, I don't like the way it tastes or whatever.
Yeah, he's funny.
And I went and tried to find that bit, and the whole special had been wiped from the internet because it included some... not so savory things that were jokey then, but turns out he might have done in real life.
Well, he took it out. You can't take it out. Just, guys, stop taking it out. It's a simple thing. Unless someone asks you to take it out, don't take it out.
I thought you meant the clip.
No, you meant
the thing.
The thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he did.
Right.
He took out the thing.
Right.
You can't take out the thing.
Right.
The thing's got to stay.
I thought we established that.
Let her take the thing out.
I thought we established that. Like before you start whatever public school is, if that's preschool for you or kindergarten for you, because every kid when they're little, every boy when they're little, gets naked, whatever. They just get naked and run around the house. If you had a boy, he got naked.
It's how you know you're no longer a kid. Because when you're a little kid, naked is fun and like everyone laughs. And then eventually it's like, ooh.
Yeah, but that's part of the reason you weren't allowed in BYU. And you had to stop doing that. You really should have.
I'm just saying. We all reach the point when being naked is no longer ha-ha, funny, cute. It's, you've committed a crime.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, is once you go to public school, your parents have had to talk with you that, like, leave little Petey in his pants.
Yeah.
The fact that we have adult men who are like, I'm famous now, so that doesn't apply.
Yeah,
to me,
you can't.
Is really strange. I think that's really strange.
Well, you can't be like, hey, do you mind if I take it out? And then like, no, you can't just, no, don't.
I think
no one wants it out. No one. Unless it's, you have to let them ask, hey, you want to take it out? Then the answer is yes.
I just, in my brain, I'm thinking of this as a public service announcement. No one wants it out. No Keep one. It in unless no someone takes it out.
That's
it's
right.
not okay for it to be like, wonk.
It's just not.
The
it's,
more you know, do, 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 do.
It's just not okay. You know what is okay, though, is the Yong Bong. This is very interesting. I'm dead serious on this. How much of this, because it does feel like this game is a little kind of like people are actually excited about it. I've had a number of people that have texted me. Like, no one gives two S's about Summer League. I couldn't tell you the last time. I watched 4 minutes of the Cooper Flag, Bronny James thing last night. It was just up, and we were like, okay, I'll see Cooper Flag. I get it. When's the last time that anyone cared about Blazers Summer League? No one cared when Donovan Klingon was in Summer League last year.
We cared about Scoot. Scoot was a big deal. Remember, because then he got hurt, too?
Yeah.
And then that was, like, scary.
I feel like this has more hype around it in Summer League. This is like Greg Oden level hype, and he's the 16th pick. Like, how much of this is that he's just a foreign guy from China that we don't really, if this is
all of it, Suk,
right?
All of it. 100% of it.
Isn't it weird? Because if this was not the whole Yang, the Yang Bang, the Yong Bong, all of that.
You mean if he was just Chinese a 7 foot one, 20-year-old dude who was like a white guy?
Yes.
Yeah. 16th overall pick.
He was from Canada.
Yeah.
If he's from Big Beaver, right?
Yeah.
If he was a Big Beaver on the borderline and he played for the Canadian like under 18 thing and then he went to like IMG, I don't think anyone cares.
Well, look at Derek Queen. Derek Queen was a top 10 pick.
Yes.
Who, right? Didn't Derek Queen end up going in the top 10?
The Pelicans traded up to get him.
Yes. I don't know if he went in the top 10, but he went before.
Where did he go? Do you know?
It might have been 9 or 11, but
I thought he was right in that range. So my point is, he was drafted higher. And we've seen him hit a game-winning shot in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
He was a 5-star recruit.
Yeah.
So by all accounts, you'd think people would be more excited. And I get regionally, no. But it does feel like nationally, and even obviously internationally, there's more excitement about Yong Hansan or whatever his name is than there is for Derek Queen.
And Derek Queen went 13th to the Hawks.
Is a better prospect. And here's the other thing, and I don't mean to pour cold water all over this thing. I'm definitely about to. Do people not realize that he played in the Summer League last year?
Yeah, 3 games.
And he was absolutely awful.
Now, I did not know. You sent me that yesterday.
I wrote a story about it.
Yeah, I did not know that he had. I had not heard one person point out that
I didn't know that until right now.
Yeah, he played for the Chinese national team last year in the California Classic.
4.5 turnovers, 4 fouls.
China.
And 1 assist per game with 0.33 blocks.
Yeah, man.
So we should be tempering our expectations is what you're
saying. One of his games, he went 0-for-6 from the field. Another game, he went he had 0 assists, 7 turnovers, 6 fouls. And he had 1 block in 3 games. He's a year older. He was playing with inferior competition or with inferior teammates.
Yes.
Because he was playing for Team China and they were losing by 20, 30 points.
China!
It's alarming that he is their only big.
I know, right?
And he got 1 block. And he's the Chinese Jokic. And he had, in his last 2 Summer League games, 11 turnovers, 1 assist, 10 fouls.
So when I hear all of this, my brain goes one place. If I can find some unders tonight, I should go ahead and bet them.
Well, I think he put up quite a few points.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do terrible with rebounds.
I think he put up 12 one game.
12, 8, and 6.
Yeah.
And then his rebounds were like 8, 1, and 4. I mean, I think there's kind of a disingenuous nature in the way that we've covered him. Because I think a lot of people kind of go, oh yeah, and he was in this. People know that. People who write about him know that he played in the Summer League last year and was an absolute train wreck. Now, again, he could end up being a year better and be great, and I'm not saying he won't be. But we have to factor in this idea that he's like, he's China's great hope and no one's ever seen him over here. We have no idea what he's going to be. No, we've seen him, and he was an abomination.
Someone said, Blazer saw that and said, get him ASAP.
Can you imagine watching him and one game he misses every shot and the next game he has 7 turnovers, 6 fouls, and the Blazers go,
we've been watching him for years and we love it.
Did you turn on last year's Summer League? It was on NBA TV.
That was the whole thing, is we've had our eye on him. We can't believe it.
We've sent people over to China to watch. Did you just turn on your TV for Summer League last year? Because it would have changed your take.
Yeah, man. I saw some clips. I saw some clips from the CBA.
Did you see that oop off the backboard to himself? That was sweet.
Like I said, not to pour cold water on it or
anything. Well, the Yong dynasty starts tonight. Which will be the greater reaction? If he goes out and has like 22, 10, and like 6 blocks, put him in the Hall of Fame, or if he goes out and he goes 0-for, and the pitchforks come for him.
See, I think it's going to be the typical Blazer thing of if he goes out and goes nuts, it'll be like, oh yeah, put his jersey in the rafters. And if he is terrible, it'll be like, well, he's a work in progress. We've got to give it time. It'll be very forgiving, I think.
I think the most fun is if he's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. That's the most fun.
Way more fun. Like if you come in Monday and in his Summer League game, he had 30 and 15.
Buckle up.
People are going to be like,
buckle up.
Just 20 and 10 would make people sports fans.
Dame who? Let him wear number 0. Like, it will change so fast. If he's horrible, because he's the project that most people said was an early to second round. And I know people have reported, hey, there were teams that wanted him at 20. Go look at the hit rate of guy, even if you say he's number 16
it's
and he deserved
great.
To.
It's
like a 6% hit rate where they become a good player.
Hey,
it's a total crapshoot.
Hey, Chinese Jokic, man.
But this idea that he's this unknown and going to be great, I think Portland fans are just eating up any little bit of hope. The best thing, 30-15. If he goes for 30-15, we're celebrating. If he goes 1 of 8 from the field and has like 9 turnovers, Blazer fans are going to be pissed.
I'm going to go put on my Yong jersey right now. When
it's actually
we come
pretty
back,
neat.
I'm wearing my Yong jersey. Prime time here on The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Someone say, can I put a 5 spot on a rolled ankle in the first?
Oh.
You don't wish that on the Yonger.
No.
Stop. It's fun. Hey, I'll at least say this about Yong Hansen. It's provided if they had taken, whoever went 16, I guess who went 17 in the draft. If you took the 17th or 18th pick, you took the center, there was a center out of Georgetown.
Yeah.
No one would give 2 S's about this Summer League game.
Right.
So I'd at least say that in the depths of summer, when there's nothing else going on and the Blazers aren't going to be any good, at least it gives you like a little,
at least the
it's a little something for you to watch and pay attention to and be like, it's a fun story. It adds some whimsy to your sports summer.
At least if you know the Blazers aren't trying to win, at least they are drafting players now to try to involve and excite other countries so that when they sell the team, they're worth more.
They're at least they're farming clicks in China, and that's wonderful.
Even if you don't think they want to win, even if you don't think they actually watched 2 years because they obviously didn't watch last year's Summer League, at least you can say behind closed doors, they're really hoping that China backs this team so they can make more money in the sale.
They're going to do big digital numbers.
It's exciting that the Blazers have that. That's what I think's going on.
The Blazer merch in China will be selling quite well.
Yeah.
You got a billion people over there that are going to be losing their minds. I think there's only been like 3 or 4 Chinese players to ever even play over here.
Yeah, and they've all obviously been great.
Well, I think the only one
Yao Ming.
Other than that, I don't think there's
There's that the guy that was drafted, I think, like 6th by the Bucks, Yi Jianlian.
Yeah, he sucked.
And he was terrible.
Yeah, he was awful. But, you know, hey. The Yonger, he's gonna break the trend.
It's exciting.
You just tune in Monday when we do a detailed breakdown. Well, Danny flew down.
Yeah.
I
think he goes every year, doesn't he?
Yes.
He goes down to summer. I can't imagine.
See, it's
I went to one.
It's like going to spring training, right?
Is
kinda?
It?
Kind of
spring training,
or is it like going to NFL like mini camp OTAs?
I love spring training because you're down there, it's in the sun, you have some beers.
I mean, it's in Vegas.
It's no, it what yeah. it is like is the combine.
Yeah.
In terms
there you
of
go. There you go.
What it is like is really like the NFL combine. The actual flow of things doesn't really matter. Whether you're in the seats or watching it on TV in Vegas doesn't really matter in terms of the game action. What you're there for, theoretically, yeah, hypothetically, is the networking. Yeah, the networking. And people do a lot of that at the combine. In high school recruiting, that used to be the opening in the Elite 11 at Nike headquarters.
Yeah.
You'd run into everybody and you could talk to everybody about all the stuff that was going on. That's what it's like. And that's the reason you go, is it can potentially set the table.
Sure.
And that's why you get guys like, you know, the Zach Lowe's, the Woj's that go and, well, not anymore, but they go and they collect their information.
Well, I am not Zach Lowe. We went to one, they sent us to Summer League once for Greg Oden, and I wanted to put my head in an oven. That was like one of the worst. I can't do it. It's bad ball. It's in like crowded gyms. And I really struggle with the everyone suckling at the power teat. I find those things, and maybe this is why I'm not Stephen A. Smith or, you know, the climbers of the world, but when all the media gets together and they all have to kiss the ass of, you know, whether it's Danny Ainge or whatever, I do not have that ability. It is not in me to play the game and like just, you know, do the, let's get to know each other and form this relationship. And by relationship, you give me information that I need, and then I will do your bidding and tell my listeners whatever the hell you want me to tell.
Well,
like, the Adam Schefter thing, I cannot do that. It would break my brain.
I had a run-in with this, and I think it's long enough ago that I can tell this story. JT...
Hold on. Oh. We're up against it.
Okay.
So for TV's sake, put a pin in that.
Yes.
4 o'clock. Otherwise, the TV folks will get mad at me.
Okay.
And then Fan Man, now that he's the new boss, he'll be all bitchy. So put a pin in that. When we come back, we'll do it on the other side of the break. Primetime. Souk, Nemec, Buckley, right here on The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.